Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Spirit's presence with us. Lord, we just pray, as meaningful as it is for us to come into your presence to lift songs of praise and worship to you, Lord, we just pray that our praise would be a sweet aroma to you. Lord, that you'd be pleased not only in our song, but in our lives and how we live in walking with your Spirit each day. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us today as we look to your word. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would be speaking to each of our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children can be dismissed to children's church. Just a word of instruction, too. Again, as was already mentioned, when we leave today, the service, quizzers are going to be practicing. Also, we do have some of the teens helping with some of the child care as well during the meeting. Again, in light of how much work we have to do, and again, every time I say this, I feel I'm scaring you away, but in light of how much work we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and get everyone through the meal line first, kids first, so that they can get on to quizzing and the people that are helping with the kids can get through first. If you're a guest with us too today, we encourage you to stay and share in the meal with us as well. I know there's plenty. We definitely would love to have you, but then we will be getting the rest of us. We will be getting our food, sitting at the table, and as soon as possible, start the work. And you can reload soup and desserts while we're working. So we just want to keep things moving. I realized moving here that I was no longer in the Pittsburgh Steeler region, but I know I'm not alone as being a Steeler fan, and this has been a rough week for Steeler fans, even a worse week for Steeler kickers, if your name is Josh Scooby. But, you know, as I was thinking about just the decision of kick or don't kick based on the lack of confidence in their kicker on Thursday night, I just thought often sports teams give us a good analogy of how the body of Christ is supposed to be functioning. And as I think about a team, we see that in a team, if a team is functioning well, everyone contributes. They work together, and if someone's struggling, you're going to help. So if someone has a tough assignment on the line, they're going to have two guys helping on that line. They're going to work together to help the person that might be struggling. But everyone has a responsibility to fulfill. Everyone has a different responsibility, but everyone has a responsibility, which means if your responsibility is to kick, you need to be able to kick when called upon. And that didn't happen Thursday night, we know. But I heard Don, Cleveland fan, I know. You know, that idea of our responsibilities to other people. And the whole idea of a responsibility entails relationship to someone else. And I remember early in my ministry, first week in my ministry full-time in McKeesport, when I went on, was the youth pastor there. And I remember sitting down the first day in the desk, at the desk, and remembering a thought going through my mind of, okay, what do I do? And then I wasn't thinking that a week later, because it was plenty. And it reminded me of one of my mentors, Ron Gifford, who mentored me when I was in Lexington, Kentucky. He always kind of twisted a little bit Bill Bright's quote. You remember Bill Bright's famous saying, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. To try to prepare me for what to expect in ministry, he always said, well, God loves you and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. And I found that to be true. And as a pastor, I found it very important for me to not only understand my calling, what God had called me to, so that I could know what I needed to be giving my time to and how I was responsible to the congregation, how I was responsible to a community, and it, specifically, how I was responsible to God and what God had called me to in relationship to other people. You know, as I find over the years that that's a constant struggle. And when I talk to other pastors that struggle with meeting expectations, I often find when I talk to them that they don't have a clear picture of what God called them to. I found in ministry, there's always someone that wants you to do something. And I've yet to figure out how to get that extra hour of the day. And balancing life, family, now for at least this season of my life, some schooling as well, it can be a great challenge. And yet I found that over the last year or two, especially, I've kind of re-looked at this, and we're going to come to this a little later, but the idea that I've realized that I'm responsible to you as a congregation, I'm not responsible for you. And we're going to explain that later a little bit. But I think this is important, I'm not just pulling you into my dilemma. This is a dilemma that we all have. When we really look at our life and what God expects from us, not only in relationship to Him, but we've been looking the last couple of weeks about what it means to connect to God and connect to others. We looked at the Great Commandment, that God calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's concerned about our relationship to Him, and He's concerned about our relationship to one another. And last week, we looked about that the reality that in Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself, and that God desires to restore relationships, and that we need to be focused on our relationship with God, other people's relationship with God, but also our relationship with other people. And that gets messy. That's where there's all those one another's and all the calls to forgive and to rebuke and to encourage, because life is challenging. And we're not only called to be responsible to focus on those things, but we also have specific responsibilities to one another. And that's what we're going to look at today, is and really unpack what some of our responsibilities are to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Specifically, what God expects of us within the church. What does He expect for us in relationship to our brothers and sisters? If you want to turn to Galatians 6, we're going to be looking at Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5 today. But even before we look at this, I want to pose some questions to get us thinking. Maybe some of you have maybe thought of this a lot. Some of you maybe deal with guilt and always feeling like there's something more that you need to be doing. Some of you, maybe you deal with selfishness. And maybe there is a little bit more that you should be doing. And this picture of how we connect and relate to the body of Christ, how we connect and relate to other followers of Christ, our brothers and sisters, is the language that Scripture uses, that we are a family and we have a responsibility to one another. There's some questions I just want us to think about. And these questions will prepare us to then look at the text and hopefully get us all really looking at our own lives. Just want to think some questions. As a follower of Christ, what is my responsibility to other believers? That question assumes that, is there a responsibility to other believers? Can I live the Christian life without concern for other believers? Can I live the Christian life without concern for other believers? Can I live the Christian life without personally relying on other believers? Catch the difference there. One is, I have no concern for you. The second question of, can I live the Christian life without personally relying on other believers, is, am I functioning in a way that I don't trust or depend on anyone? I'm going to do the Lone Ranger Christianity. And third question, what about the brother or sister who doesn't seem to help themselves? Honest question. It seems like, okay, that person, they're doing a lot of asking for help, but I don't see where they're contributing. Three questions then. Can I live the Christian life without concern for other believers in kind of a selfish perspective? Can I live the Christian life without personally relying on other believers, kind of a self-reliant, independent perspective? But also, in relation to our lives and others, what about the brother or sister who does not seem to help themselves? And we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between being dependent versus interdependent, and that we all contribute. We all have a place and a responsibility within the body. But, before we do that, we're going to look at Galatians 6. But, the text that we're looking at today really gives us a picture of a group of people on a journey. And so we're going to kind of imagine for a second, and I know, Andre, the trails around here. I didn't ask you this in advance, but is there a quick place we can get on the Appalachian Trail from here? About an hour drive? Okay. Well, we have a 4-hour drive to get to the Appalachian Trail. I'll think ahead on the illustration next time. But imagine today, and this is going to carry us through the whole message. I want you to imagine that today, after we eat, we conclude with the business, everyone's going to go home, pack their bags, and we're going to meet up, and we're going to go find the closest stop to get on the Appalachian Trail. and we're going to travel for some destination, about a week-long trip on the Appalachian Trail, backpacking. Some of you, that terrifies, and some of you, that's kind of exciting. Not sure where I feel about that right now, but but I want you to imagine we're on that trip. We're preparing to make this trip, and our goal is not just to have individuals make it to the end, but our goal is to have every one of us make it to the end of that trail. Whatever our destination is, the goal is to get the entire group there. That in mind, let's look at the scripture. And the scripture should be on the screen. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, brothers, and you could say sisters or fellow believers, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. You know, to put this in the context of what Paul's addressing in Galatians, Paul's been addressing the believers in Galatia about what it really means. What are the signs that you're really truly following God? Is it following ritual of circumcision or dietary customs? Or is it, and Paul moves them to a place of, no, you begin in the Spirit, you finish in the Spirit. It's the identifying mark of a true believer is someone who is led by the Spirit of God and walks in the Spirit. And we just end at the end of chapter 5, he talks about keeping in step with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit. That's the identifying mark. But then he goes on to give, in chapter 6, some very specific commands, exhortations to kind of end this whole letter to the church in Galatia. And the first three commands that he gives have to deal with this idea of being on a journey with other people. And the responsibility that we have, not optional, they're commands, to other brothers and sisters in Christ that begin the journey and that one day will be at the end of the journey, we need to ask ourselves, are we taking these responsibilities seriously? Because the reality is we are responsible to our fellow believers. And in the passage I just read, we see those three commands. We're responsible to restore the fallen. We're responsible to bear one another's burdens. And that third one seems a little odd because it goes from looking at the other person to looking at yourself. But it says, test your own work. And part of testing your own work is the idea of bearing your own load. I'd like to look at each of those commands. As we think about the fact that we are responsible to our other believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and let's personalize that. Look around the room. You can look around the room. When I say you're responsible to your brothers and sisters in Christ, that includes the people in this room. You have a responsibility to them. And it starts with that first command. The first command is to restore the fallen. And the picture, again, is you have someone who, in the language it's often used talking about sin, is the idea of being caught. Like if you're fishing and the fish takes the bait, they get caught. They get enticed. They get tempted by the bait and they get caught. That's the picture that's being used here, is someone starts on this journey in the Christian life and they get caught in sin. What is our responsibility to that person that is caught in sin? Say, well, the pastor will handle it. It's like, no, that's not what it says. It says that you who are spiritual. And that's not the idea of a class of Christian. This, again, is connecting to what Paul has been talking about in this entire book, of the idea of those that are walking in the Spirit, those that are being led by the Spirit of God. And that's a call for every believer, that as we're walking in the Spirit, as we're being led by the Spirit of God, we have a responsibility to look out for those that are struggling. And specifically in this first command, to look at those who are struggling with sin and often even have given up on that struggle, they're caught in that sin. And someone needs to come alongside of them to help restore them back onto the path. Imagine the trail for a second again. I got to think of who I'm picking on. Okay, Chad, you're the first person that came to my mind. But Chad Hoffman, we'll use him to pick on this morning. You were my second choice, just so you know. I might throw you in for good measure. But again, imagine we're at the beginning of the Appalachian Trail. We're all packed up. And you have your personal items, but you also have things that we share, the responsibilities that you share among each of the packs, even out the weight. We start down, and we're only an hour or two down the path, and Chad trips, falls down a ledge, and hurts his ankle. That at least, maybe. He messes up his ankle. So he's down in this ditch, and it's a good distance, and we have a dilemma. What do we do? Do we go on without Chad? Or do we stop and help Chad, who's whimpering at the bottom of this ledge? Sorry, Chad will get me back on. I shouldn't have gone that far, but I mean, obviously, in that moment, when we're there, and it's someone we know, it's someone that we love, that we care for, we're not going to go on without them. We're going to do everything we can to help get them up out of that ditch, get them back on the path, and help moving down in this journey. And that's the command. That's the command. Again, it's not the pastor's job. It's not even just the elder's job. It's you who are spiritual. Those of you that are walking in step with the Spirit, listening for God's Spirit's voice, when you see, and often this is something that you might see, and not the church as a whole may not see, but you might see one of your brothers or sisters struggling. And it may take you coming and saying, I have a concern for you. Sometimes, and it's amazing how many places in Scripture we don't just have the word encourage, we often have the word rebuke. There's a place where we go in love and we encourage that person to look at the sin in their life, to repent, to come back to a place where they're back on the path spiritually. That's the picture of this first command. We have a responsibility. And it's important that we look, too, though, that we don't just have the responsibility to go and help restore that person. But the Scripture also gives a description of how we're to do it. It says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of judgment. Is that what it says? Spirit of shame? Laying on the guilt? No. You who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. Our actions in addressing a brother or sister in Christ who's trapped in sin should be more full of grace and compassion in that moment than at any other point in our dealing with that person. And having grace and compassion is not meaning that we're surrendering on truth to say, hey, there's a problem here. You need to address this in your life. But you do it with a lot of prayer, a lot of love, and grace, and compassion, and gentleness. You know, I've found over my life that to have that type of relationship with someone that someone can speak to me takes time to build that type of relationship. And so it's important to realize that we have to live in a way that we build a trust with one another, that we can speak into each other's lives. Jan and I often, we use the phrase that someone has to earn the right to speak into our lives. Some of you in the few years I've been here have already done that. And I've told my elders. I tell my elders at the beginning of each session to say, if you see anything in my life or my ministry that we need to talk about, I want you to talk to me. I give them permission. And I'm so excited to see, and last year we had a big transition in our group of elders just based on availability of some of our other elders, and I was losing half of my elders. I mean, they're still here, active in the church, but I was so excited when I realized God had other godly men to step up into those places, and I've been blessed by you as a congregation that there are people here that I trust that can ask those tough questions and can say, hey, not sure how you handled this, if that was really the best way to handle that. And we need people to speak into our lives. So we have to earn trust, but we also have to give permission. And like me looking at my elders and say, I give you permission to speak into my life, we need to have that type of relationship with a few other brothers and sisters in Christ to say, if you ever see me drifting off the path, getting too close to the ledge, or caught up in something, I invite you to speak to me. We have a responsibility to one another to restore the fallen brother. I also see, though, that we're told that we need to also be protecting ourselves, watching that we also, too, don't get caught up. And let's look at the verse. It says, keep watch on yourself, lest you, too, be tempted. How many lifeguards do we have here? Anyone that at one time in your life served as a lifeguard? A few of you? I served as a lifeguard for a few years in college, and I remember going through the training. One of the principles they taught you right from the beginning, you never attempted a rescue without watching out for who? Yourself. You had to guard your own life. You had to make sure you didn't just jump in after someone. If you could reach that person by extending something to them safely, you would do that. If you had to get in the water, you learned how to come from behind. Because if someone's struggling in the water, you're a life preserver. And so they're going to use you. And so you have to exercise caution. And lifeguards are taught that all the time, that they're not just there to rescue, they're also there to guard themselves. In the Christian life, if you're going out after someone who, brother or sister who's caught in sin, you need to make sure that you're grounded, that you have some other people praying for you, that you have people that are watching over you, and that you're being cautious of your own heart, guarding your own heart, to make sure that you too don't fall into that same temptation. So that's responsibility one. We need to be cautious, we need to be careful, but we need to be restoring those who are fallen. We need to get Chad out of the ditch and back on the path. Second command is bear one another's burdens. And in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That call is very clear that, again, picture the backpacks. We all have a backpack on. We're on this trail. But, okay, Chad, we've gotten him up on the path, but now he's got a limp. He might actually not be able to carry anything. So we're going to share Chad's burden as a group so that we can keep moving in the path. We might have to actually rig something up so that Chad can be carried for a while. We find a way for the person who's struggling, whether it's a physical challenge or in life, maybe you're just facing maybe a family crisis. Maybe it is a physical challenge or a job crisis. There's something in your life that is just causing you to be overwhelmed by the burdens that you're carrying. We've all been there. If I show of hands, most of us were there at least once this week. Some of you are saying, I'm there right now. We all have those times in our life where the burden that was okay, it was something we could handle in the past, but for that moment and for that season is too much. And it's an incredible thing to sit back, and as I shared this morning, of watching how you cared for the Chase family. It's wonderful to be able to step back and see the church being the church and caring for one another. Identifying that person who's struggling, that person just needs an extra help, an extra support. That's the picture here of bearing one another's burdens. It's going along and helping that person who has more than they can handle in that moment and saying, I'm here to help. Paul says in this passage that when we do that, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. And this gets us right back to the great commandment. Remember the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul quoted this in Galatians 5:13-14, the previous chapter. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, imagine the trail. We're moving along. Chad or someone else they're hurt. They're really struggling. So for a time, we're coming alongside them. We're taking a bit of their burden off of them. We're helping bear their burden. That's the picture of what God calls us to do, to not only restore those that are caught up in sin, but also to be bearing one another's burdens. When they become too much that we can't bear them alone, we don't have to bear them alone. And there's two things that you have to think about there. One, you have to be honest about your burden. You need to know, I can't read your mind. They didn't go over that in seminary. If you have a need and you don't share that need with me or the church family, can't help. But as a church family, if we have a need and we're getting to a tipping point or breaking point in our life, we need to be making a phone call. We not only need to be the person who's looking for the person that's hurting, but we also need to be the person that says, you know, there are days I need someone to come alongside and help because I can't carry it alone. I want to ask you, are you in that place? That so I think it's a Western PA thing. Growing up in Western PA, but living away and then coming back, Western PA, we're very good at helping other people, but we tend to be very reserved about receiving help from others. And some of you, that's a major issue in your life, that you're not honest about the struggles in your life to where you can really invite someone to say, yeah, I need some help. Can you come over and help? On the trail, we understand that. But in the trail of life, we have to be honest about those needs, that we need someone to come along and bear our burdens with us. Third command, this is kind of a shift. The third command gets personal. It's not our eyes on our brother or sister, but really it's our eyes on ourselves. See, in verse 4 it says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Here the picture of testing is the idea of examining. And the concept here, and I think the original hearers would have understood this, when you talked about examining your work, it would have pointed them to the end of the trail. The end of the trail of life where we all have to stand before God and give an account to our life, and the need to be examining our lives now in preparation for that future examination before God. That's a key theme in this idea of being tested or examined in our lives, is to prepare for the judgment to come. We need to be examining our lives. And this passage says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. That seems kind of weird. Aren't we only boast in Christ? We've seen Philippians. The idea is here is that we do our part. It's not taking our focus away from Christ and trusting in him, but it's also saying that when it comes to a community responsibility, that we don't just have to say, hey, didn't Jim or didn't Marty, didn't they do a great job along the trail? It's when we get to the end of the trail, we say, hey, I did my part. And how much even greater to hear the trail leader look at us and say, you did a great job. You did your part. You carried your own load. I want you to think for a moment. We get to the end of the trail, wherever that would be. Stop in Virginia or however far we can get in a week. We get to the end and we start reviewing and we look back, and each one of us has to sit with our trail leader, whoever we would appoint to be the trail leader, and they would look at us and start giving us feedback as to how we did along the trail. I think most of us would want to be able to say, yeah, you know, I did do my part. I carried my own weight. But, you know, when Chad was struggling, I came alongside, I helped. I prepared myself, and I did everything I could do to make a difference. The reality is Scripture makes it clear that in this trail of life, we're going to stand before God someday and give an account for the life that we live. And we'll have to answer the question, when the person was struggling, did we help restore the fallen brother? At least on our part, do what we could to help restore that fallen brother. Did we help bear the burden of someone within our church family who was struggling and had more than they could carry? But also, did we carry our own weight? When there was a need, did we help? Was our life self-absorbed, or was our life a life of sacrificial service and doing the work of God's kingdom? The picture we see here is a contrast to go. It's again the previous command of bearing one another's burdens. It's actually a different Greek word, but both of the words can be used interchangeably. But Paul is using those two words to highlight a contrast here. The idea of we have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens when a burden that seemed to be normal at the time but became overwhelming because of whatever life circumstance or whatever, when the burden becomes too much, we have a responsibility to help bear that burden. But here, the word for burden or load, We're being told now that we're to carry our own load. So how do you take, bear one another's burdens and carry your own load? How do those two things reconcile? The picture there is the idea, again, of helping the person who has more than they can bear versus the idea that, you know, when we started that journey, everyone had part of the responsibility of sharing the load on that trip. And every one of us have a responsibility, and we have to ask ourselves, are we carrying our weight? In the Christian life, are we worried more about what we get? Or do we have eyes that look at other people and say, you know, my brother is really hurting right now, and I need to give some time to help them. Or my sister is really struggling, and I just need to be available. Or do we just have blinders on to say, it's just me and God, and I'm going to do my own thing? Carrying our weight, carrying our own load within the body of Christ means it's not just about what we get out of the church. It's also about us being a part of the church where we're contributing. We're giving, again, not just talking money there. We're giving our lives to the work that Christ has given us as a church. And individually, we're not stepping back and saying someone else is going to do it. We're actually serious about the idea that we have a part to play. We have a load to carry, and we're going to do our part. So to wrap up, I want to have you ask some questions. Those questions we asked earlier, I think will help us to examine our own lives. And I'm praying that God's Spirit would speak to you in this moment. And if there's places you need to deal with God, to surrender, to confess between you and the Lord, I encourage you to do that. But, you know, the first question we said, can I live a Christian life without concern for other believers? That's an issue of, I mean, the answer is no. If we really take this passage serious and other passages in Scripture serious, we know we cannot live a Christian life without concern for other believers. We have to move beyond selfishness. It can't just be about ourselves. We have a responsibility to restore the fallen. We have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens. We can't just focus on ourselves. Second question, can I live the Christian life without personally relying on one another believer? Can I live the Christian life without personally relying on other believers? That's moving beyond self-reliance. Some of you, the issue here today is selfishness. Some of you, it's not an issue of selfishness. It's an issue of getting beyond that Lone Ranger mentality of saying, I'm going to live this life on my own and I don't need anyone else. We need each other. And we have to come to that place that we know that we can't live this life on our own. We all have those times where we need someone else to help bear that weight. We have to become willing to let others assist us when our load becomes more than we can carry. Third question, what about the brother or sister who doesn't seem to help themselves? Some of us, we've fallen in that category where we've just been depending on everyone else and not really carrying our weight. Others of you, you've been the giving type, and you just get to the point where, like, you know, that person takes and takes, but they don't see them really serious about giving and doing their part. That's where that third command comes in. We have to examine our own work. We need to bear our own load. We need to ask ourselves, are we contributing? Are we making a difference? We're all going to have those times we need help, but every one of us has something we can contribute. If the body of Christ is really functioning as the body of Christ, we have something to contribute. I want to ask you, do you know what that is? And are you giving yourself to fulfill that work? I started today with the differentiating between the idea that I'm responsible to you, but not responsible for you. I don't know why I didn't learn this many years before. It was only in the last year or two that this principle has become real for me. But, you know, the idea of being responsible to people, we have specific responsibilities to other people. And we just went over three of them today. Every believer has a responsibility to these three things. But we're not fully responsible for their choices or actions. I have responsibilities to you, but I can't be responsible for the choices that you make. Parents, as our kids get older, I mean, when we bring them home from the hospital, you're pretty much responsible for them. But soon, if your kids are growing and maturing, they get to a place where you transition to a place that you're no longer responsible for your kids, you're responsible to your kids. And because they're going to make choices. that are totally out of your control. Scariest thing as a parent I've experienced is the idea of launching my kids and say, okay, you're in school, you have choices to make, and I can't be there to guard every choice that you make. I want to ask you, in your life, in relation to other believers, do you understand that you have a responsibility to them, but you can help restore the fallen and they can just walk away? You can go to someone to help bear their burden and they can say no thank you. But we have a responsibility to be looking and to be doing our part, to be responsible to them so that we can be the body of Christ as God intended it. Today, when we get to the end of the journey, not the Appalachian Trail, but when we get to this end of this journey as a Christian, we've walking each day in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, looking forward to that day that we see Christ face to face. Well, we know that we've effectively been faithful with these three responsibilities of being responsible to restore the fallen, to bear one another's burdens, and to test our own work, and to carry our own load. Will you pray with me? I'd like to ask the musicians to come as we prepare to close. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have demonstrated sacrificially bearing our burdens. You bore the burden of our sin upon the cross. You bore our sickness and our sorrows, our grief. You bore all of that upon the cross, Lord, that we might be not only saved, but that we might know wholeness and be complete in you. We just thank you, Lord, that you give us the example of being a suffering servant who would be willing to bear the sin and the weight and the burden, the sickness, the sorrows of others. But Lord, you give us a small part of doing that in the Christian life in relationship to one another. And I just pray that you would help us, for each person that's here today, if there's someone that's been struggling with selfishness, and maybe they're just becoming aware of it right now, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would speak to them and that they'd be willing to repent, confess the selfishness in their own life, and that they begin to have a growing concern for their brothers and sisters. Lord, for the person that might be struggling with pride and feeling like they don't need anyone else, Lord, I just pray that you would help them to realize that we all need, at times we all need someone to come alongside and help bear our burden. But Lord, help us each to do our part, to examine our own lives so that that day will come, when that day comes that we stand before you, we would hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I just pray that you would be working in our hearts and our lives, even as we close, Lord, that if your Spirit has been speaking, Lord, I pray that you would give us very specific things that we need to do in our lives in response to your word this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.